You didn't clap your hands to this one. Let's see you clap some hands. Thank you.
Yeah. you, Lord, that victory belongs to you. And because it belongs to you, it belongs to us. For we are in synergy with you. We give you praise, Most High, for your wonderful words of grace, mercy, your goodness revealed unto us. Cause us this day to be more like you have purposed in your will and in your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our greatest demonstration of praise, worship, and adoration, it's not in the words that we say or the songs that we sing. It is in our being more like the Lord. Let me state that again. Our greatest demonstration of praise, worship, adoration. It's not in our words, spoken or sung, but in our living out life like He is, like His word says. That must be forefront in our minds on a daily basis. Lord, make me more like you. That's my greatest demonstration of praise, worship, and adoration. Why is that? It is that because that becomes the clear manifestation that He truly is worthy of praise, worship, and adoration, because I'm living the life that He came to accomplish. It is well, job well done. I pray that we get that. That my life changed, glorifies God. That what He came to accomplish was truly accomplished. That He said it is finished. That's just words. It is finished, and my life changes. It's proof. Undeniable proof that Jesus truly is Lord over all. What is my proof? If there's no change in my life, Muhammad could have said the same thing. Buddha could have said the same thing. Confucius could have said the same thing. Anybody can say anything. Okay, I'll have the proof that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. What's your proof that's true? If there's no life changed while we are here. But the thing is, my life will not change if I don't surrender. To the extent that I surrender my life, my will, my thoughts, everything about me to His influence and control, to that extent, I ultimately know, yes. Every one of us knew where we were before we got saved and what changes have taken place. If you can demonstrate, if it were not for the Lord, only God knows what I would have done. But the Lord has so harnessed me that I don't even consider that I would have done to be even doable. I won't do such a thing. It's dishonoring. It does not honor me, it doesn't honor that person, it doesn't honor God. If we have not changed to be able to appreciate that, then something is off. We need to get back to the altar and ask God to save our souls. Because last minute, salvation is not very secure. I shared with you about a dear friend. Met him, must have been 75, 76. No. 76, 77. I was a missionary in Nigeria in a different state from mine with some other young ministers. Actually, of that group, except for a senior pastor that spoke to us early this year, and myself, every other person is gone, dead. Anyhow, this friend of mine, and Mama's, of course, saw me, I think it was in Chicago or Dallas, and he recognized me. How he did that, I don't know. I really don't know. But he recognized me. I look different. I think I look different. At least I've added some pounds. And can you imagine from 77, 76, 77, this guy recognized me in around 2010 or something like that. Called my name. He'd seen me a few times in this particular state, in crusade grounds, playing the guitar. And when it's my turn to preach, I will preach. And he remembered me from way back then. He became a blessing to us. Anytime he sees me, he'll put a pile of cash in my hands, in the thousands. Oh man, I'm so glad that you're serving the Lord and you're faithful and God is using your life. Put an envelope in my hand and I go and check the envelope, thousands. And this young man just dies like that. So unexpected. Death comes to people in strange ways. So you cannot live your life and say, okay, just before I die, I will. No, your concentration will be on whatever issue you are facing. If it's your heart, you'll be clutching your heart. If it's whatever, an accident, whatever, you know, you'll be more focused on that because not all death is prolonged. So we have to live our lives as if this is our last moment. You don't know if this is the last time you will see me. And the greatest expression of love is the love that you give daily to the Lord and to the people that are around you. You say, Pastor, are we still in the book of Colossians? Yeah. I don't know if I'll finish verse 1 today. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen, if ye then be risen, the word is the word synagero. Synagero. It's the root word for the word synergy. Synergy. If ye be risen with Christ, if you are in synergy with him, with Christ. It's remarkable that the word that is used is that word synergero. Because, as I said, it's a root word from where we get the word synergy. Now, what is synergy? When we talk about synergy, what we're talking about? Synergy is that happens when two or more people combine their resources, their abilities in working together, and through that, a greater level of total power is achieved, greater results are achieved. One shall chase 1,000 to 10,000. That's synergy. Are you with me? Okay. The word of God says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you are in synergy with him, what did the Lord say? The Lord says in John 14, he says, greater works shall you do because I go to be with the Father. I'll be risen. I'll be with the Father. And because we rise together, we're going to do greater works. Ha! Greater works. So back to the beginning. The greatest demonstration of my praise, worship, and adoration is when his life so affects my life that we produce greater results. That makes sense? That's all the Lord is saying. So that brings me to this very practical, realistic question. Why aren't we doing greater works? When he said that we are going to do greater works because he goes to be with the Father. Jesus said, our Lord said, if you don't believe in me because of the works that I do. That must be the driving force in my mind, in my thinking. I must do greater works because that is proof that Jesus really is risen from the dead. Greater works must be manifested in my life. I cannot be held to the status quo of just getting by. The Lord goes on and says, seek those things which are above. Guess what? The Lord says, I do nothing except what I see the Father doing. So seeking those things which are above is having the focus to see what the Father is doing. And the reason that I don't do greater works, that we don't do greater works, is because we are not heavenly minded, seeking what God's assignment is. What I see the Father doing, the same I do. Something's got to happen to me. Listen, I'm talking to me. Actually, every service, I'm talking to me and reminding myself. I have to remind myself, hey, brother, where's the beef? My coming to church is not just to come to church. My coming to church is to be, the Word of God says, assembled together so that we can do greater works than we could have done as individuals. That we hear from each other. We bring our giftings together, and in synergy, we produce greater results. Can I lead in praise and worship? Sure I can. Used to. I can play the guitar. I can't play the keyboard. I can play a main bass. Maybe I can do some drumming. I can play sticks, tambourine, whatever. But the fact is, while that is good, it's not the best. It takes a group, a band, to put things together. Well, there are people who can play all of those instruments all at the same time. They be drumming and they be playing the guitar and doing the harmonica or whatever. I'm sure you might have seen those kind of people. They're just amazingly talented. But how many of those do we have? And even if you can play the instrument, did you make the instrument? It takes a group to produce greater results. And the Lord invites us to come in together and through resurrection life, bring us to that place of synergy with Him so that we and the Father, we and the Son, we and the Holy Spirit work in conjunction to produce results in the earth. Synergy. If ye then be risen, if you are in synergy with Christ, you reason. And since you are in that synergero with Christ, in synergy with Him, look at those things which are above. It's not saying that we were not reason. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, do this. Stop looking down. Look up. Seek those things which are above. where Christ seated on the right hand of God. What does that mean to us, where Christ seated on the right hand of God? It means that he's resting on the base of what? The word of the Lord found in the book of Hebrews. Sit down here until I make all of your enemies your footstool. What do? I get off the seat and I try to make things happen. God says, sit down. Relax. I'll take care of business. If you're in synergy with him, seek the rest of God. Jesus said, my Lord. He said, the works that you see done, he said, I didn't do them. It's the Father, he that doeth the works. John 14. He doeth, the Father doeth the works. The Father doeth the works. But Lord Jesus, you said that you can't do anything except what you see the Father doing. And he says to us, when he says the Father doeth the works, he was saying, when I connect with what the Father is doing, I say in synergy with him what he's saying and what the Father has done already in heaven becomes a reality in the earth. Oh, my Lord. It's all in the Word. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And what the tabernacle tell us about? That the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit want to dwell in us. Which means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in synergy will do the works in us and through us. The manifestation of miracles is not a difficult thing when we rest in the Word of God. It should be like breathing in and breathing out without thinking about it. Just a lifestyle. A lifestyle with ease, without struggle. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection. Phroneo. It is to focus our attention, exercise our minds in thinking of the things of God, meditating on the things of God, allowing that word of God to take precedence in our lives, that we be disposed from now to the way God thinks. Set your affections on the things above. Seek the mindset of the kingdom of God, not the things of the earth. That does not mean that you don't make applications on the earth, but rather that you and I, in locating the mind of God concerning an issue, begin to declare that will of God in heaven, in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So set your affection on the things above so that you can establish the things in the earth in its proper order. That is the point. That is the point. For ye are dead. Dead to what? Dead to the flesh, dead to the world. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid in Christ and in God. So since that's what your life is, that you're hidden in Christ and in God, focus on where you are, really are. Jesus, our Lord, says in John 3 to Nicodemus, he says that while he was right there with him, that he was in heaven at the same time. John 3. John 3:12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If I tell you of earthly things and you don't believe it, how are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven. Remember, this is before he died. He says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The Son of Man, which is in heaven. So, Nicodemus, while I'm talking with you right now, I am in heaven. I am bridging heaven and earth. Right now, I'm in heaven, so I hear what the Father is saying, and I'm saying to you what the Father is saying because I am right there with him right now. That's an interesting concept because the Word of God tells us in Ephesians that we also are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus and we're seated in heavenly places. As we continue to pursue the heartbeat of God, this sense is going to be the truth about our relationship. Life is hid with Christ in God, so that when Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life. Why? Because I died and he lives in me. Yeah? So now he is my life. And when that life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He is my life, and when he appears, then I will also appear with him in glory. Interesting. Remember what we said about setting your affections? Okay. The word, as I mentioned to you, is the word phroneo, for affection. And here, the word for appear is a very similar word, capturing what appearance is, what affection is, because the word appear is the word phaneru. It comes from that same root. So set your affection is similar to when Christ, who is alive, shall show his affection, show his love, demonstrate his love, his power, his grace. He says, you also shall also appear in like manner, which means, remember where we started from, the word synergy. You're going to appear with him in that same glory. In John 17, the Lord says, the glory, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I have given unto them. When we shall see him, we shall see him and see him in the likeness of this fact, that we are like him. And the love that the Father has for the Son is the same love that the Father has for us. All Jesus, he says, listen, I'm not going to have to ask the Father anything for you. You're going to ask the Father directly yourself. You're going to talk to God yourself in my name. So when we talk about the greatest demonstration of praise, worship, and adoration, we're talking about you and I resembling him. So don't be poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants me transformed. God wants me renewed. God wants me to be brought to that place where there is no difference, no separation. I become a living witness of who he is. How is this going to happen? He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. Mortify. What does that mean? It means to deaden. It means to kill. Nekru. Subdue. Nekru is a word that we have the word necromancy from. It's about death. It says kill, mortify, subdue, bring to nothing your members which are upon the earth. What members? fornication, porneia. From where we have the word pornography, it says, destroy it. What is our greatest issue in our world today? Yes, drugs. It's a very important issue. But the greatest damning factor in our world today is pornography, sexual immorality. It has brought nations down. The corruption of fornication, relating with people of the opposite sex without the commitment of true synergy, of becoming one out of a pure heart. Porneia makes you one with somebody that you are not meant to be one with. It is fake. It says, deaden, basically, kill anything that is not going to produce godliness, true life in God. Kill it. Snip it off. Get rid of it. Get rid of uncleanliness. Uncleanliness. Uncleanliness is a word here that means to live an impure life morally. Get rid of every form of immorality. What is happening in our world today? Immorality is being pursued and pushed. I was listening to the news the other day, and one of the greatest fad today that's happening with the very young ones, little kids, is they have strippers, they have what do you call them now? Guys that dress in ladies' clothes. Drag queens. Yes. They have drag queens going to classrooms, exposing themselves and teaching them to think unclean thoughts. That's happening right now in our schools. So you have young people who are damaged. Pornography happening, 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds. Their minds are just hammered with all kinds of uncleanliness. I was listening. This is so diabolical. It is so diabolical. I couldn't believe it. I was listening to one of our broadcasts. So I'm listening, there comes a flash of some ad or whatever. I looked at it. I read what it was. What did you think it was? It wasn't something clean. They didn't send me a picture, but they wanted me to open a page. And if I had opened that page, without a doubt, I'll be opening to something that has to do with pornography. I'm listening to religious Christian message, and there, poof, I'm thinking, how did these people get my information to try to pump that kind of information to me? Well, it's not the first time they've tried. What is the idea? Psh, unclean, impurity. And if your affection, my affection was on things above when I was listening to a message, powerful message. I'm listening to it and I'm getting blessed because I listen to the word that is spoken in this house and in other houses of the Lord. Here. And when I say, lay your hands on your head, I'm laying my hands on my head too. Because it is the working of the Holy Spirit. But the enemy wants to throw things in. You know, you open on something that has nothing to do with anything. But it's a portal that they try to use to get you into a place of uncleanliness. And there are Christians whose minds have been damaged with unclean stuff. Enemy is just trying to shoot things. Then it goes on, inordinate affection. This is having a pater's passion, lust, that of things that do not belong in your life. And all of this have to do with morality. Have to do with sexual immorality. And so inordinate affection, then evil concupiscence, evil desires, shooting into people's minds. So believers are tormented. And the word of God says, the enemy wants to come in. Kill it. He's going to try to swing his way in. Kill it. Don't go there. Kill it. Mortify. Necro. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Covetousness. Which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, remember, everything else has all been tied to immorality, sexual immorality. What does covetousness, which is idolatry, come in? Seems to be out from the left wing. No, it's still talking about the same thing. It's addressing covetousness here, which is coveting that which belongs to another. Actually, the Bible tells us in the Ten Commandments about coveting other people's wives. Yeah? That's what it's connected to. The Bible tells us about idolatry, and it says that idolatry is connected to immorality. In 1 Corinthians 6, it's all connected. So idolatry here becomes that which you hold above God, that which you are worshiping. Worshiping it. This is a covetousness, a desire for something, a lust for something, until it consumes your mind and you worship it. If you don't, this is an addiction. You can't do anything until you feed your idol. And anything that will get you to that place, God says, does not belong. If you're going to be in synergy with God, then expect greater things in your life. But if you synergize with the devil and his cause and the world, then you have the other result. Whatever it is that you join yourself to, that's what defines you at that point. So the challenge, and I'll wrap up with this, he says, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience. Ephesians tells us, Ephesians chapter 2, I believe, and verse 1 and 2. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. It says, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. God had quickened, that's resurrection life. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, the marked out patterns of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Walking in the spirit of disobedience. And verse 6 here in Colossians says, for this cause. Let's go back. Let's look at that Ephesians passage again. Ephesians 2 and 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What is this spirit? It is the spirit that we've just seen in Colossians 3. It is the greatest force that is moving in the world right now. It started from the printed page, and that was limited, because you had to go to a physical store and buy it and pay for it, and everybody knew about it. Now it's come through your computer. It's come through the airwaves. And now you are in bondage in the secrecy or privacy of your home. Nobody sees me here. Nobody sees me here becomes the act of idolatry, because you've reduced God to an idol who cannot hear, who cannot see, who cannot. Are we together? These are realities. There's a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. And when a child becomes absolutely rude, in our present day and time, find out what they are looking at. When a child becomes disrespectful, dishonoring, don't start looking out there. Find out what they're looking at on their cell phone, on their iPad, on their, because these diabolical devils are pumping things right through. And kids are getting caught in all of this stuff until their minds burn. He says, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. We need to break people free from that. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You used to be there. What is the word of God saying? God's word is saying, listen, yes, you've been there before, but I am well able to break you free from it. And now you need to make the decision to continue in the freedom that you have already received. If you believe in me and continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will be the truth that sets you free. So there's freedom available, but it's freedom that must be applied. It's a freedom that needs to be brought into a place of spiritual consumption. You don't get free pursuing the things of the world and pursuing the things of God. You'll be split in two, because the devil is going to go in a totally different direction from the way God is going. And if you're going to try to attach yourself to God and attach yourself to the devil, be certain you will end up belonging to nobody. You're not going to belong to God. I trust that we have heard the word of the Lord. And the fundamental truth I want us to go home with today is that word reason, synergero, or synergy. And the fact that God wants us to be one with him so that we can produce greater results. Join yourself to God. The one who joins himself with God becomes godly. The one who doesn't join himself with God becomes ungodly. It's as simple as that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of life. May we truly be one with you, in union with you. For when we are, there is nothing we cannot accomplish. When we are one with you, there are no impossibilities. When we are one with you, the word says one with God is majority. So, Lord, oh God, we align ourselves to the grace of the majority that trumps all things. We surrender our wills, our thoughts, our minds, everything about us to you. Separate us from that which is unlike you. Separate us unto yourself until the very fragrance of your person permeates every aspect of our person, and we stand strong because your grace is sufficient. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for the grace accorded us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. And thank God for the sufficiency of his grace, for his presence, and for his anointing made available to us as his people. Friday is our next time of communion together. Be our time of prayer. And Sunday morning and Sunday evening, it's time for, of course, the celebration of life in Christ Jesus with the Word. Next Wednesday is our next Bible study. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Be at peace. Prosper in Him. Now honor God with your giving. If you have not released your special offering today. Just release it at this time. And remember, God is a God who multiplies your seed sown. Amen? So come in faith, believing, and God will continue to increase you more and more. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Well, while you bring in your gifts, I want to remind you of the word of the Lord to us this month. This is October, and God has a word for us. I'd like you to see this, and that'll be how we end this service today.